Good morning, everybody. How y'all doing today? All right, so earlier in May, I had the opportunity to go to Texas with all five of my kids. We drove down to Texas. It was a long trip in a car with five kids. But my mother had the opportunity to come with us. My dad lives in Texas, and so so for the last 2 years or so, we've been trying to go down there to visit him because we don't get to see him that often. And so we went down there, my mom came with us, and my parents separated when I was about 3 years old. So I don't have any memory of them being together. And so when we was down there, we was all sitting in a room, and my mom and my dad was talking about the 10 years they spent together before they separated. And so they was talking about things that I never heard of, about memories that they shared together that I never thought of or that no one ever told me about. And so as I was sitting there listening to this, my heart swelled as I seen them share, heard about good memories that, you know, that brought tears to my face. And as I'm sitting there crying, they probably thought I was weird because I was the only one sitting there smiling and crying. But the point of it all is that this situation that I thought was impossible, that my parents coming together and sharing a good moment, it was made possible because of this opportunity that we brought together by visiting my father. And so it caused my heart to swell, and I adored the situation. And so that's what we're going to be talking about, seeing and thinking about God, and how when we see the glory of God and when we think about the good things that God has given to us and the positions that he placed us in, it should cause our heart to swell as well. Because of the work of the cross, Jesus has made something possible that was once impossible. We all have the opportunity now to be in relationship with God. Before the cross, we didn't have that opportunity. The Bible says we were at enemies with God. And so now that we are able to have a relationship with him, we can see his glory and feel his goodness. And that should cause something to happen in our hearts. So yeah, so we're doing a series on Psalms. And I got the opportunity to preach Psalms 8. So we'll see how this goes today. So I'm going to read Psalms really quick. Psalms 8. To the choir master, according to the Gittith, a psalm of David. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care of him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and all the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, and the fish of the sea. Whatever passes along the paths of the seas, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. So a little background. David wrote this psalm, and a little background. I like to start off with giving a little information about it. It's really interesting that David starts it off with, according to the Gittith. Now, a Gittith was a string instrument that was supposed to be used by the people of Gath. And so they would usually use this instrument during feast. And it was an instrument that they played, and they would have joyful music and celebration. And one of the main feasts that they would use this instrument was a feast called the Feast of Tabernacles. And there's something special about the Feast of Tabernacles. It was one of the most joyful times of Israel that they had. And so during this feast, the people of Israel, they would come together and they would make tents, or what they call booths, and they would live in these booths for about a week. They would leave their homes and they would take all their family, and they would live in these little tabernacles, these little tents. And it was really to have them remember the time where God made them journey from across to Canaan. And so the feast served two purposes. It was for the people of Israel to be thankful for the provisions they seen God provide. And they lived in the booth, or what the Hebrew name for it was, the word Sukkot. And that was to remember where God brought them from and where he has placed them when he placed them in the land of Canaan. And so Yeah, so David really wrote this psalm during this time of remembering the good things that God has done for them, remembering them seeing the provisions that God had placed in them life, in their lives. So that's kind of like a background on where we're starting off. So we're going to look at in Psalms 8 how David shows us that seeing and thinking about God should cause us to really sacrifice something and perform two types of adoring, two types of admiration to God. The first is going to deal with seeing in verses 1 and 2. And then the second is going to deal with thinking in verses 3 through 8. And so we're going to get into more of what that looks like. Let me read verse 1 again. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. The first thing David sees in verse 1 is that he's seeing that how plainly God displays himself. God makes himself plainly known through the creation that he has created in the works of the heavens. The creation, God's creation, proclaims to all the world that there is an infinite being full of power and a sovereign king that is over the earth, which also displays that he is deserving of praise, which alludes to Romans 1, verses 18 through 23. Romans 1 tells us that, I'm going to read this really quick. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all the ungodly and the unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse. For although they knew him, they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, birds and animals and creeping things. So here David is saying that depending on the posture of our heart right here in this verse, when we see God's creation and glory, we're going to do one or two things. We're either going to give honor and praise to him, or we're going to give it to something else. And so that's the first thing that he sees. He sees that God is clearly displayed through the creation of the world. Verse 2. Out of the mouth of babes and infants you have established strength because of your foes to steal the enemy and the avenger. So the second thing that David sees here in verse 2 is how powerfully he proclaimed himself through the weak things which result in praise for him. Which it causes us to acknowledge a few things here. Is the first one is that we all have benefited from the care and provisions that God has given the weak. So he's saying that through the infants and babes, God established praise. And so through us living out our lives and making it from infanthood to adulthood, that is a provision that we can see that God has provided for us. The second thing that David acknowledges in verse 2 is that God's wisdom is beyond us all, beyond all people. And those who know him, for those who know him and those who don't know him, God established strength because of your foes to steal the enemy and the avenger. The grace of God and the power of God through Christ for us enables us who are looked upon as unlearned or ignorant or weak to be able to preach the gospel and to steal the enemy. The gospel causes the enemy or the avenger to be silent. And so God uses the weak things as when he called the disciples and they said, who are these unlearned men who God has established strength from? And so God uses these weak things to establish praise for himself. So the first thing that our first response is that these sightings of God's glory and power leads David to adoring God in praise. The first response that David sees is that in seeing God's glory, it should cause us to sacrifice comfort for praise. So God's glory, seeing God's glory in this world, it causes us to give up something. So when we see God's glory, we should give up comfort, and in giving up that comfort, it should result in us praising God, as David did here in his psalm. The posture of praise is erected and raised up. We must first sacrifice comfort for praise. Comfort gives us a sense of physical and psychological ease. There should be no ease when we're giving thanks to God. Like, it shouldn't be comfortable for us, because God is this big and holy God. When we come and we're coming to praise this God, it shouldn't be something that is easy for us to do, because when we think about him and we see in his glory, we see that he created the heavens and the earth. We should be awe inspired by that. So, and then he goes into the next section of what he talks about in verse 3. When I look at your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care of him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. Here in verse, in these couple of verses, David reminds us here just how low we are compared to God. He says, God, you have set the stars in the sky, but yet you look upon us. And compared to God, we are like worms to him, David is saying in this section. God has given, and he also explains in here in verse 6, you have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, and all sheep and oxen, and all the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea, O Lord, a path of the sea. So God has given us as people, as human, as believers, he has given us great stature in the physical and spiritual world. God, in the physical world, he has placed us. We all can think about in a time where we was once in a lower position in our jobs or in our lives, and God has given us greater positions in life. But he also talks about spiritual positions, how he has placed us just a lower, lower than the heavenly beings. When we become believers of God, he has placed us as his children and has given us inheritance and stature with him. And so David acknowledged that through the relationship with God, through this relationship that he has with God, God has placed him, especially David, he has placed him as one of the greatest kings of Israel. He has given him a high stature among all people. Moses often warned Israel, once you have this position, not to forget the God who redeemed you. In Deuteronomy 8, Moses tells the people, don't forget about God once you're entered into this promised land and you have this milk and this honey. It's easy for people to forget about God, and that's my mother. And so she's not forgetting about me. So Moses warned them, don't forget about God once you have given these, once you get these riches and these, you have getting these high positions, which reveals something about these sukkots that these people was placed in during this festival, how easy it was for Israel to sit in their homes and during this great harvest and look at what they and say and look back and see what they did. They have given their lives, but God called them to leave these comforts that they have and leave this wealth and these great positions that they have and think about what God has given them. I think it's very tempting for us to make the same mistake. It's easy to come to church and forget about what God has done. We come and we gather together and we see our friends, and it's easy for us to just come, hear a sermon, and then leave. But God, David here is calling us to not forget about God. The second response David has in these verses is about thinking about God's goodness leads to him worshiping God, because he's recognized that God is high and I am low. So the ideal of worship is when you are stooped down and you are bowing before God. And so here David says, so in the second response, he says, thinking about the positions God has placed him in life, it should cause him to sacrifice pride for worship. It's easy to come and to say, well, I have done these things for myself. I have placed myself in these positions. Forget that. No, it is only by the grace of God that have made it this far. And so the posture for worship the Bible tells us about, is bent over, is leaning, is bowed down. We must sacrifice pride for worship. Pride tells us to look into the world and pat ourselves on the back for the things we have done and accomplished. But our accomplishments are nothing compared to God. One cannot worship God with an inflated sense of self. You must be humbled and recognize that he is high above. Have you always ever got a compliment from someone, but it wasn't really like they was complimenting you, they was complimenting themselves? Like, everyone says, somebody said, like, you did a great job, but I'm glad I was here to help you. Like, were you really complimenting me? Or were you? And so it's easy for us to do the same thing with God. Like, we can come and say we have done these things, and we forget that it was God that had brought us this far, and it was through his grace. In worshiping God, there is no room for self. When we are serving, grieving, reverencing, and devoting and honoring God, we must remove self, because God is holy and a faithful God, and we got to recognize that. So David ends this psalm with, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." He ends it with how he begun it. David ends this passage with saying that God's name is worthy of honor. He says that after all this, after I see the things that God has created, after I have witnessed, after I have felt the good things that God has given for me and how he has placed me and where he has placed me. And it's interesting for someone like David, because it could have been easy for him to just remember all the horrible things that he's been through. You got to remember, it's David. He had his son turn his back on him and tried to steal his kingdom. Friend after friend, Saul was the one, was the previous king, chased and hunted him down, and he lived in caves. So it was easy for David, who had been through so many trials, it could have been easy for him to reflect on the horrible things that God has brought him through. But instead he says, I see the great things that you have created, and I can recognize the wonderful things you have done in my life. And for that, I will give you praise and worship. So during the, during the Feast of Tabernacles, Israel would come together and they would get in these booths, and they give up the comforts of their life in order to recall and give honor to God for his salvation. This reminds us that in order to accurately praise and worship the God that redeems, the people of the Lord must surrender certain things. We must give up selfish reliance and selfishness. We must turn from our idols and comforts and honor him. Unlike Israel, we don't have like times where we go and gather and live in a booth for a week, for it's easy for us to remember the things that God done. We got busy lives, we work, but we do gather in times together at the church. And so during this time when we gather together, it's really our main focus should be honoring and praising God. Like, that is the main focus while we're here. This is a time for us to get together and just remember throughout the weeks that he has carried us through. Remember the good things that we have seen that he has done in our lives. David in Psalms 8 is challenging us to look and think about what God is doing and has done in our lives, and to adore him for that. So I want us to just think about, how have we adored God for what he has done in our lives? What can we think about that God has delivered us from or brought us from? What can we think about the sacrifices that God has made in our lives? He has given up his son just for us to be in a good relationship with him and not be his enemies. Those are things that we can plainly see that God has done for us. And because of that, we should be honoring him and coming here with our minds and our hearts focused on him. Praise and worship is really about a posture of heart. When we think about God, it's about knowing and seeing as well, but it's really about the posture of our heart. When we have the correct heart, it's easy to worship God. But when our hearts and our minds are focused on other things, it's easy to get sidetracked. And so David is really calling us to evaluate our heart and think about what God has done for us. And because of that, our heart should automatically swell with admiration for God. Yeah, so that's all I have, and I'm going to pray for us really quick. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for the many things that you have done for us, Lord. You have given your son that we may be in a relationship with you, Lord. And through that, Lord, you have opened up our blinded eyes, Lord. Your word says that through the wickedness of our hearts and our minds, Lord, we are blinded to your love and your grace. But your word also says that your goodness leads to repentance, Lord. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the sacrifices you have done for us. We thank you for the places you have exalted us in our lives. And we just ask that you touch our hearts, Lord Jesus, that you remove the stoniness from our hearts, and you give us a heart of flesh, that we may feel you and we may exalt your name and praise you for the great and mighty things you have done for us. We thank you, Lord, and we bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen.